So the epistle for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Brethren, let us not covet evil things as they also coveted, neither become ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them in figure, and they are written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but such as is human, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue that you may be able to bear it. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 19. At that time, when Jesus drew near Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, if thou also had known, and that it is in thy day, the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, and thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee, and they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Please be seated. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We see very clearly this warning that is given to sinners. Those that think themselves that they can stand against temptation, against the struggles, thinking on their own power that they're able to do so. Well, the warning to them is, take heed, you will fall. You will fall because of it. And so that is, in the introit, we see that the Lord is the protector of my soul. And then continuing on in the collect of the Mass, it says, let the ears of thy mercy, O Lord, be open to the prayers of thy suppliants. So one, recognizing the fact that we are sinners, that we need the grace of Almighty God to help us, and we pray for that grace. And so from that, we see, you know, how asking for the mercy of God, asking for that to be open to our prayers that we say. And so again, this is a reminder to us as we start our pilgrimage. As I mentioned to you in years past, we try to take some Sundays before the pilgrimage to try to prepare us for that. And so from that, with this idea, we look at it in terms of asking for our Lord's help, seeking that help as we make this pilgrimage. And as I say, depending on whatever capacity that you can help with it, so whether you walk the pilgrimage, whether you help with the support vehicles, whether you help the setup with the food or take down, we can still have that spirit of a pilgrim. And then we also have to ask the question, when will God hear our prayers? He hears those of the humble, obviously. And so that goes back to the idea of those that are proud. And so going to the idea of, well, we can do things on our own, we don't necessarily need God's help, well, we will fall because we fall out of pride. And so we know that pride has been the cause of many falls. Certainly we think of, you know, Satan, the bad angels, not wanting to serve Our Lady or our Lord. But then also we think of Adam and Eve, that they wanted to be like God, to have the knowledge of God. And so we've seen in the history, one of the church, but we can say the history of mankind, of how pride pushes us toward that fall. And so certainly God will hear the humble supplications that we make to him. And so that's where when we look at that warning that is given in this epistle, you know, St. Paul warns us, be careful if you think that you're going to stand, because you will end up falling. We need God's grace to help us from falling. And so that's where it says, it continues on, that God is faithful to us. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we can handle. So then why do we fall? Why do we struggle with these things? For a large part, a lot of times we place ourselves in the occasions of sin, whether it's persons, places, or things, that we put ourselves in those things and then we can't expect God to keep us from falling because we have not heeded the warning that God gives to us. And that's where we have to imagine, we have to consider, we have to think about what are the things that tempt us? What are our occasions of sin? It will be different for each person. And that's what we need to try to examine. And so maybe that can be one of your intentions as you walk on the pilgrimage itself, to overcome some of your occasions of sin. I mean, with the pilgrimage, depending on the weather, depending on different things, you know, how hurt we are, we're walking, we're sore, we're tired. Could be the heat. There's a lot that we can offer to God in making reparation for our sins, for our struggles that we have, but then also to ask for the graces to overcome these struggles. I mean, you look in the gospel also. Our Lord wept over Jerusalem. And so he weeps over Jerusalem because things, he says, are hidden from their eyes. They do not know the time of the visitation. Again, we ask that question, why are things hidden from them? It is because they were blinded by pride. And so that's where we have to try to look for ourselves. You know, they had the warnings to them. The warnings given to them, they had those from the prophets, especially the prophet of Jeremiah, his prophecies that he made, his lamentations. He asked the question, when will you convert? You know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, when will you come back to God? And so he laments that fact. He is saddened by that fact that they have turned their back on God. And so they had the prophecies and they still did not listen. And so Jerusalem in that aspect signifies the unrepentant sinner. It signifies the one that turns their back on God, the one that does not listen to what he is saying. I mean, even when then we see that our Lord or the prophets through the prophecies, we see that of calling them, trying to ask them to come back to him, they still refuse. They do not listen. In a way, what will it take for them to listen to God's voice? And we can also take from the feast day today, St. Mary Magdalene, the only one in the calendar that is given the title of penitent. And so on her feast day today, when we think about unrepentant sinners, here you have this one that is called the penitent. That when God called out to her and gave her that grace, she took that. Yes, she had lived a life that was away from God for so many years, committed so many sins. But then at one point, she heard God's voice, and she listened, and she took it. And so that's what's important for us then to see, of how then she did. She took God's grace. She accepted it, and she moved on. Moved on from her sinful life. And that's where we can say that St. Mary Magdalene has the spirit of a true pilgrim. Her life of prayer that she accepted. And then also meditating upon the sufferings of Christ. Remember, she was faithful to our Lord at the foot of the cross. And then finally, we see with her the voluntary practice of mortification, a true spirit of reparation. And so she has these characteristics, we can say, of the spirit of a pilgrim. Something that we need to have. We need to have that true spirit, spirit of prayer, as we make our pilgrimage itself. That we are there to pray, we are there to offer sacrifice to Almighty God. Certainly there are the times of socializing, but during the walk itself, it is not. It is meant for us then to have that spirit of prayer, to listen to the meditations, listen to the sermons, praying the rosary, singing the songs, that we illustrate that idea of a true pilgrim. And then for us to meditate upon these things, to meditate upon the sufferings of our Lord, to meditate upon our own sins. And by meditating upon these sins, we realize what we have also done to our Lord. I mean, that is truly when you see St. Mary Magdalene, when she received that grace from God, she recognized what she had done. But again, we see how God worked in her soul. He sent her that grace, she accepted that grace, and then she receives this title of a penitent. So it's helpful for us to try to see that. And then, as I say, finally, she had that voluntary practice of mortification, a spirit of reparation. How lost that is in our modern world. I mean, a lot of times when we reflect and we think about our sins, we think about how much maybe we're wrapped up into them. A means for us to overcome them will be through a spirit of mortification. It's unfortunate if the only times we think of mortifying ourselves are when we have to, according to the church, Advent, Lent, that we lose sight in the graces that God offers to us so many times throughout our life. If we had a better spirit of mortification, we would see of how we can be more pleasing to God. We would see how we can overcome more of our temptations if we only had that true spirit. But as I say, a lot of times it's almost that we're forced into doing things. That it is not willingly that we try to take these things on or see the benefit of them even. It's just that we have to do them during these time periods, so we'll choose something. There are so many graces available to our souls. Every day, we can say, truly. But certainly, as we prepare for this pilgrimage, there will be many graces to our souls. I mean, do we have the right spirit? Do we have the right intention? Do we even understand that? As I say, you look to St. Mary Magdalene, you see that life of prayer. You see them, her meditating upon the sufferings of our Lord. And then finally, that voluntary practice of mortification and sacrifice. Recognizing she had to make up for her sins. But all of us, we have to make up for our sins too. If not, well, that is what purgatory is for us. If we save our soul, and then certainly if not, well, then we know the fires of hell and what it will do to us. So the choice is ours right now. The choice is ours to figure out what we want to try to do. Do we want to be a true pilgrim in the sense of understanding that this life is a mere stepping stone to the next? That we spend this life in trying to be pleasing to God? Whether it's doing a pilgrimage, whether it's your daily duty. That reminder that you see. But that the grace of God is being offered to our souls. Will we heed that warning? Will we heed that offering from God? That as we contemplate the lamentation of Jeremiah when he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, when will you come back to God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.